Bonjour, mon ami. Je suis Ash et tu, Justin Panks. Comment ça, s'il vous plaît?
I'm trying to decipher what you said.
Oh, I wouldn't bother.
Because I've just been doing homeschooling today, and my oldest, one of the things we had to do was French.
Yeah.
And I said, I just don't know any French, but I'll just sit here while you do it, because they get it on their laptop. And then he goes, after that, I go, right, what's next? And he goes, finance. And I was like, oh, Christ, I'd be better off trying to help you with French. I had no idea about any of that stuff. But the youngest one, he had humorous writing. And, oh, yeah, I think I could help with that. Although I just sat
there. Could you?
Yeah, I could have done if my heart wasn't in it. I'll be honest, I was sitting there playing chess on my phone, looking up every now and then.
What did he have to write for humorous writing?
He had to write a story. It was so bad. It was puns, basically. Like, because they had examples. And it was like, oh, 1 second, my phone just moved. He goes, one of the examples was what their teacher had put. For example, they could have a funny name, the characters, like the policeman called PC Leslie B Avenue, known as Les for short. And I thought, right, one, that's shit. Two is 11. Let's Be Avenue is something that the police would have, the cliche, a policeman would have said that no later than
1960.
No later than 1960. And I just thought, God, and then these teachers, they don't want the kids to go back. I mean, I think it's only fair that if we are standing outside and clapping for the NHS at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, there should be a time we can boo these lazy fucking cunt coward teachers. That just seems right to me.
I don't think that's a popular view that you've got there. I just want you to know that.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're still... Well,
okay.
It depends on the teacher.
Okay, no, it doesn't depend on the teacher. I'll tell you what it depends on. Anyone listening to this who hasn't got children of school age, that's unpopular. Anyone that has had to do homeschooling is like, yeah, I agree with him. They're cunts.
It's hard, but they're still producing the schoolwork, aren't they? So why are you angry at them?
Because they're at home. And I've got to do it. And I should.
But the schools are closed. Why are you angry at them? They didn't close the schools.
No, but the teachers are saying they don't want them to be open.
Because of the close proximity of all the children.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
You've
got an aeroplane. Aeroplane flying overhead.
No, I'm in the front room of my old house and the window's open. Should I get up and close it?
No, definitely don't do that.
So anyway, but the woman that works on the tobacco counter at Morrison's is all right to be exposed to things, is she? But teachers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, God. I would say that education is more important than people getting their lottery.
You know, my son got a certificate this week.
Go on.
That was for outstanding effort during these times and producing his schoolwork. I've been constantly going, you just got to do a bit more. You just stop taking the easy option. Do the bit, do this, do that, do it properly. What's the point in half-assing it? And then he gets a certificate. It completely undermines everything I've been saying to him for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
All backs up that you should say C. You should say C. Well,
I did say that, but I don't think he has lifted his game.
No,
he had to draw a portrait of someone the other day. He did this little round-headed bod fella, and he went, yeah, that's Chris Pratt.
Right.
And I went, is it? And he went, well, do you not think it's any good? I went, well, I wouldn't have known it was Chris Pratt. He went, oh, I'm pretty proud of it.
Right.
I was like, are you? It's really difficult.
I've got to say, their mum has been good. I am totally shit. I didn't do schoolwork when I was at school. I don't see why I should have to fucking do it now.
I mean, I am staggered. But I did listen to something. They were talking about, we got a thing from the school, and I've heard this in podcasts and stuff as well. You shouldn't worry too much. I think maybe you should worry slightly more for your oldest boy's year, because I think he's a year older than my boy, isn't he? But they're not really missing anything. They can catch up, and doing something is better than nothing.
I think school's just free childcare. I think it's all a waste of time, got to be honest with you. I disagree with school.
You disagree with school?
Yep. Don't believe in it. If I was a modern day Guy Fawkes, I would blow up the houses of Ofsted instead of Parliament. I'd be burrowing away underneath the headquarters of schools.
The NUT, yeah. Offices.
And just blow it all up and go, just provide daycare so we can all go to work and do what we do. And then, because it's like I was doing this maths with the eldest yesterday. And it wasn't maths, it was English. It was like sentences. Like there wasn't any numbers involved. It was like, oh, if so, well, there were some numbers involved, but the questions were sentences. It was like, what is the mode mean gradient of... And I was going, what the fuck is that? And then there was a little F with an X next to it. And I'm going, what is this?
It's like I remember one of the worst days of school I ever had was... we had N once. What is the value of N? And I didn't know. Like I could probably, like I just didn't know that was the unknown number at that point. And I remember just sitting in the class, just going, "I don't know what you're talking about. How can I possibly know?"
Wait, like when you start doing maths and there's letters involved, I'm just tap out. I'm like, "No, mate. There's 10 digits, right? 0 to 9. That's as I understand
it."
It's
the weird thing is that you. I would say you don't need... Like, I've never used trigonometry since I left school, but some people must do, so it is important. But surely, after about a year of learning it, they should go, right, only the kids that excel in trigonometry are gonna continue because they are the ones who are going to do it for a living. This kid here isn't going
exactly
to.
Exactly that.
Like, unless you're a master of it, you're not going to use it.
They should go... They should not pigeonhole you, but they should tailor. So what your strong points are at school, you should do more of that and less of the stuff that you're hopeless at.
Well, this when we went to the secondary school to look around it, when we were like choosing which secondary school to turn into, I remember seeing artwork that was like photorealistic art and then stick men. And I remember reading stories written by, you know, wordsmiths and ones that just smeared crayon.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the two different.
Yeah, they say they always just say left and right side of the brain, or they may well still do. But that's my point. If you're really good at art, you should do 6 hours of art a week at school. And if you're good at maths, you should do 6. You shouldn't be forcing people to do stuff they're no good at.
Well, this is the problem that about the arts and art is that there is no push for that in this country. I was really, really good at drama. I was really, really good at art and... Like, in terms of not very good at drawing, but, you know, pottery.
You're a creative soul.
And I just didn't get... There was no encouragement. The drama teacher was quite encouraging, trying to get us to do separate stuff. But
I bet he
ultimately,
was, Ash. I bet he was. The, very encouraging. What was he encouraging you to...
What was he encouraging you to do, right?
Just to, back
around.
After school...
Move
we
around
did like,
in your pants, come round for a special party at the weekend. I'm having one of the special parties with brandy and lemonade.
He had what you might call a Chelsea smile.
Oh dear, he's nonsense. That's what they do to when you... Now it's a grass, isn't it? What do they do that to?
I don't know. And, but he had
I don't know what it was. He had really weird style ideas because one day I went round his house and every time I went round there, he'd have red paint thrown on his front door. Very avant-garde.
He had a big X written on the...
big red P. Someone had put a P on his forehead with soldering iron.
He was branded in. Yeah, he was branded, sure.
Well, you'd have to brand someone with a soldering iron on the forehead.
He was a good guy. I liked him.
Yeah, but...
He was so kind.
Very kind and gentle, considerate. He'd spit on it.
Did he spit on it first? Nice man.
Oh, crikey.
This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's what they used to say, didn't they?
Some people have said that. Oh, whenever I hear that expression, I think about a visual joke book that I had that was a mum hedgehog about to smack a young hedgehog for being naughty.
I see. She'd spike her hand, wouldn't she?
But what... I mean, what about that? About there being a joke about hitting a kid? What about the Beano where Dennis Menace was being slippered?
And every episode, they'd try and stuff like the dictionary down the back of their trousers.
Yeah.
That was a thing that I grew up knowing about. I got slippered. Maybe I was... I think I was... What was I? 7 or 8? Must be one of the last years it happened. And I remember Mr. Adams, the headmaster of Glade Primary School, had a mythical lone green flash in his top drawer. And he got it out, and he grasped me up for swearing. And he got it out of his drawer, and he said, if you don't tell me what you said, I'm going to give you the slipper. And I said, I am not telling you what I said, because I'd said the F word. Don't know why I censored that all of a sudden. And then...
Because it worked!
And then...
You've never sworn since.
No, never sworn since. And then he bent me over, and it was just... He goes, are you going to tell what you said? And on the end of no, I got a whack right on the lower bit of my ass. It was sort of top of my thigh. And fuck, it wrecked. And it was summer. I had shorts on.
Were your trousers down?
No, I had shorts on. It was summer. And it sort of hit. I think he'd deliberately gone near the hem of my shorts. And I had this fucking big welt on the back of my leg. Different times.
You'd be in your rights to turn around and lump him in the face.
Except the fact I was seven, he was a fully grown man. That's probably like...
What would he have done if you punched him in the nuts?
He'd probably kill people in the war or something. That older generation, don't fuck with him.
We had teachers like that.
We had teachers like that.
Just a big old war man.
Yeah, the one that was like... Yeah, and they'd just now and then, they'd be very quiet. And then they'd all of a sudden...
Yeah, just distant.
Yeah, all of a sudden, they'd just sort of like dive under the desk. No, but we had Mr. Turner. And then like, it just sort of all of a sudden, going about when I was in Africa, and you just think, oh, shit, this bloke's probably killed. This bloke's seen death all around him, caused death.
Yeah, we had one. He had ginormous army man's hands. You know, he was a general. He had a moustache of a general.
You sound like what my mum used to say to me to try and bribe me to do something. She'd be like, eat your spinach. That's what army men eat. You just said army man hands. That is like what a toddler would say.
Yeah, he was an army man. What do you call him?
Ex-soldier? Soldier?
No, that's because you're American, isn't it? Yeah.
No, I don't think army man is an adult.
I have to forget. The differences in the language is subtle.
Yeah, because soldier's not used in the British Army. I don't think that army man is a phrase that an adult human uses that hasn't had head trauma.
Yeah, I think so. I think it probably is just a cultural difference between Americans and English.
Ash?
So, yeah, you're probably, where you grew up, you probably said what was it? Soldier.
Soldier, ex-military.
Yeah, yeah, we say army man. In England, mainly, we say army man.
I would say GI, hoo-ha. But listen, jarhead, listen.
Shooty officer.
Yeah. We call them legal shooters in America because everyone's got a gun, but they're the ones that got, you know, they're allowed to. Say, listen, they're allowed to shoot people to death.
Did you see the, I don't know whether you're not on Twitter, but Chris Martin, the English comedian that lives in LA now, he put a picture of a shop and there was a guy with he had a machine gun on his back and what can only be described as a bazooka on his back in a shop.
I want that stuff. I'm pro, is it the Second Amendment? What is that, the shooting one? The Second Amendment, freedom of speech.
For Americans,
yeah, obviously Americans, but they've got two that I was bang on about. There's the First Amendment
is freedom of speech.
Yeah, the Second Amendment's the right to bear arms. I think I agree with it. I am an adult. If I want a gun, I should have a gun. And as I say, having a gun shouldn't be illegal, but shooting someone should be. But I should still be able to have one. And I want one. And if I went to America, I would be armed to the teeth if I didn't have such an.
As you went out into the shops,
yeah. If it's an open carry state and I had permitted, why not? I've been to countries where I've seen people milling about with guns, mate. I've been to the Middle East. Don't worry about that, son. Daddy take care of business.
Oh yeah, you went to that wedding in a car park, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. But I also walked around the Sinai Desert, wandered about like a nomadic Bedouin.
When you were in the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah, it was when I was... This is another thing that's just disappeared. The French Foreign Legion, people would join it to get over a woman. That was the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like,
up for 5 years.
My heart got broken, so I decided to go and get sunburn and dysentery in the middle of the desert. But anyone could join it, right? You didn't have to be French. Is that the whole point?
Well, yeah, they were foreign. That was the point.
So why would you... And they'd take anyone. They had like a hat that was sort of like a little baseball cap with a fucking flap over
your neck. I reckon it was cool. Who were they fighting?
This is what I don't understand. But the French Foreign Legion is something that people of our age, I knew exactly what you meant. For no reason other than it was in films and media. Have you ever heard of them doing anything? Have you ever heard of a skirmish involving them?
No.
I've just heard of them from films.
And it was, you ran away to them. You committed a crime, you went to them. You broke up with a long-term love, you went to them.
It was just sort of like the modern version of, I don't know, like a retreat, was it? Like go and disappear.
They were depicted in a fort.
Yeah, so
always.
It was a fort, a garrison in the middle of the desert. That can't be real.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a bit like... Hot. Is that a bit like the Alamo was the sort of South American version of that, or Southern States? It was like, holed up in a fort in the sort of Nevada... What was... I don't know what the Alamo was, showing me ignorance, but I've heard of it. It's another thing I know about for no reason.
It's in that area, isn't it, of America?
I remember the Alamo was a fort where they had to defend it against people of a different origin. I don't want to get in trouble. I can't remember. It was... Wasn't it one of those things where...
But it was some baddies versus some goodies.
Well,
and
no,
the baddies
some honkies. Wasn't it like 20 honkies and...
Yeah.
1,000 BAME. BAME? How'd you say that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But that's my sort of... knowledge of it. It's probably totally offensive.
What about,
but I don't know.
I raised this recently. What about when you were growing up, the amount of TV shows, cartoons or whatever that would have a Hoover that got accidentally switched to blow instead of suck?
And then
I've
like
never owned a Hoover that does that.
Oh, I've got one.
Have you?
Yes, how you empty it. You go
You've
to
got
the
a
bin.
Hoover that you blow out.
Yeah, you put it over and you put it on reverse and it empties the sack out. It's got a reusable sack in it.
No.
No, I'm winding you up. But that blew your theory apart, didn't it?
Yeah, but I thought that'd be stupid. A stupid invention.
Well, it's basically, yeah, what you have for the... It's a garden vac, isn't it, really? A leaf blower.
They used to be on TV all the time. A Hoover, like there'd be a switch and it'd be switched the other way and all of a sudden it'd be blowing shit out.
I've done gigs with people abroad, and this guy had a suitcase going through customs with a fucking leaf blower because he used to inflate a big balloon in his act and put it on his head. And I go, "What you got in there?" And he goes, it's a nightmare getting through security with this. I go, "What is it?" He goes, "It's a leaf blower." I go, "What you got that for?" He goes, "I blow up a balloon and put it on my head." And I thought, "Don't like you cunt." Instant.
Yeah, of course.
Just all that sort of gimmicky shit. And it's not original, is it? That's like a trope that other people have done.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it, comedy? Because if it's a crutch, then what are you doing it for? Like, I've gone on stage before and done stuff, like statistical stuff, and had silly... Like, when we used to do Bad Cat, I'd have to turn up with, like, a graph or something. Mm-hmm. And just being a bit different and weird... But if you're doing it because you need it to fluff out your stuff, then you're doing it wrong, aren't you?
Yeah. Did you see Stuart Lee's in trouble?
No. What's he done now?
Well, this is fucking weird. So there's a Tory called... He's got a funny... Well, I'm not allowed to say that, apparently. His surname sounds like Tugged Hat or something like that.
Right.
There's a someone that's called something like Bob Tugged Hat. And Stuart Lee wrote this thing saying that's his actual name, Baron Tugged Hat. He goes, that's his actual name. It's not a crazy story about a German fairy tale about a German baron that wears a weird hat at the end of which a story it gets tugged or something like that. But apparently it's a Jewish name, and it's a traditional Jewish name, as in not one that was changed. A lot of Jewish people changed their surname. Jewish families changed their surnames during the Holocaust. So he's in trouble for that, for saying Tugged Hat sounds a bit like tug a hat. And it's anti-Semitic, apparently.
If you must be allowed to make fun of people's names. Otherwise, where are we?
Well, you can if they're not from a persecuted minority, maybe. But I could make fun of yours because we've got the same background.
Yeah.
But it's funny, and I'm kind of there is a kind of irony and enjoyment because of course his political correctness gone mad routine.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting to see the woke eat itself. I mean, Stuart Lee is not woke enough, mate. He is now.
If that's the case, we're in real trouble.
Yeah, well, that's like Jermaine Greer's not feminist enough. That's years ago. Like, she hasn't been feminist enough for two decades. And now Stuart Lee is Jim Davidson. That's how much it's shrinking. It's crazy, isn't it?
Stuart Lee is Jim Davidson.
Stuart Lee is now the old dinosaur that doesn't know what he's saying and is like offensive and privileged and doesn't check his privilege. Stuart Lee.
Well,
Stuart fucking Lee I'm talking about.
I saw today an old video from Swap Shop, which was Noel Edmonds with a little boy with a load of Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah.
And it was like, have you seen it?
Do you remember Lemmy? Like Lemmy talking... from Motorhead used to have, like, his whole house was just Nazi memorabilia. There wasn't.
But this is a little tiny boy, and he's got, oh, yeah, I've got this blade. And Noel's like, it's got a serrated edge. What's that for? And he went, oh, cutting leaves and trees. And it's like, and people probably. And he went, no, I don't think so. Like, yes,
so
it was.
Are we a million miles away from if you had a gold, ruby-encrusted, ceremonial Nazi dagger that was, like, only five, like, only Hitler... Himmler, Goebbels had them. Is that, would it, is it, where are we getting to the stage where that can no longer be monetized? Like fur coats can't. Like, my, you know, my ex works in charity, and if they have a fur coat that donated, they just destroy it. They can't do anything with it. It's illegal to sell.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. But I don't see what's artifact. Wrong with having the, yeah, but, I think it needs to be kept.
Yeah, and also it's valuable artifact of history. It doesn't mean you would subscribe to the it doesn't mean you subscribe to the theology behind it. I mean, could you say that if you found Genghis Khan's original helmet, would you say, oh, that, no, he killed, we can't, that can't be worth money now?
And also it's quite stylish, isn't it? That's
well, Hugo
thing.
Boss, mate. Hugo Boss designed all the, they, I didn't get on board with the big trouser thigh bit. I mean, I understand.
No, but the black uniform, the black,
oh,
and red,
look
and the
good.
White.
They look good. But, like, the again, is this...
Hang on. Panks. I've just realised. I think this might be the third Nazi-based episode in a row. We probably need to turn it around.
Okay, well, anyway.
I wonder why the listening figures have been getting higher and higher. Something.
You think Captain Birdseye is worse than Hitler, don't you? Admit it.
I think they're comparable.
See, I don't. I really don't.
No, I don't.
I think
Birdseye's
way worse.
I think if your business is killing, there's something wrong with you. I think if you're a person that, even if you're like a rat...
What about Dignitas?
No, I don't agree. I think if you choose to do it, you should do it. But what I mean is, I once was having a conversation with a guy that was like a rat trapper. Right. And like, regardless of what your beliefs are about vermin, what I'm talking about is he said to me, he went, yeah, I've trapped all these rats. And what I do in the afternoons is I go down at the local scrapyard with my air rifle and I just sit there and pluck the rats off as they run around. And I thought, I think there's something mentally wrong with you. As much as they're a problem and, you know, there's, you know, people kill them and do whatever, I think taking that much pleasure in extinguishing something's life, I don't want anything to do with you.
Okay.
My belief.
Can I play the advocate of the devil here?
Yes, of course.
Do you not think that comparably so, evolutionary, we may have evolved and been programmed to take a satisfaction from shooting an animal because it's a food source? The devil's advocate has not finished his statement. So as you do when you discover firewood and make a fire, that gives you a little buzz of excitement.
But, like you've said yourself, I nearly called you mate then.
It's all right, boss.
as you said yourself, mate, you were designed to have sex with women after many, many men have, and your penis is designed to scrape the fetid spunk out. But we don't do that anymore.
No, we don't. But we do have sex.
Some of us don't
do
that anymore. Sorry,
Yanis. We do have sex for pleasure. So, do you think shooting an animal and not for food, like killing a rat, might appeal to some primal instinct in some people, just as you have sex when it's not to procreate?
Yeah, I do think that. But I definitely...
You haven't got that in you, though, have you?
I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't invite that person around for a cup of tea.
No, of course, well, unless he's washed his hands. And you would... But you do enjoy spunking up.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite things as well. Never gets old, does it?
Never gets old. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I've got to go and watch Arsenal today. Well, I'm a supporter and I've paid for my season ticket. I'll go. And I go and it's 0-0. And, I 2-hour drive home. And I'm like, oh, God, was it worth it? Never felt like that about spunking up.
Do you think that's when you were officially old, where you just look down and go, no, not today. Fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to? No, thank you.
No.
I love that. I think a lot about that Mickey Flanagan sketch. Does Mickey Flanagan hold up? I've not watched any of his stand-up for five years or so. He hasn't done anything for years, has he?
No, nah, you? That's my model. If I ever did have like a cash bonanza, I'm out.
Yeah, well, he basically said, didn't he? He did one and then he didn't do anything for about 2 or 3 years. And he said, well, because that's because I used everything that I had that was any good. And I'm not just knocking it out for the sake of it. But he did a thing about how leaving himself alone. Do you remember that bit where he's like, his wife came home and said, oh, do you fancy a bit tonight? And he said, oh, I wish you'd let me know. I knocked one out yesterday. If you'd let me know, I'd left myself alone for a couple of days.
Yeah, no, that is, and that is getting older. But I think when you're old is when it's just all just like, no, not going to happen. Can I just say, I watched a stand-up special that was free on Netflix. It was actually quite good. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, go on, yes.
Mark Normand, Out to Lunch. Free on YouTube.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, you've never heard of him. Netflix wouldn't give him a deal. And so he's just put his own special out on YouTube. And it's free. It's not pirated on YouTube. He's put it out. It's like on his official channel. And I was going, oh, I've seen him on a few podcasts. He's from New Orleans originally. I think he works from New York. It was okay. It was as good as I've seen. I watched the Jerry Seinfeld new one. I thought it was shit.
Oh, I started watching it and turned it off.
Terrible, isn't it?
Oh, it's
that
nothing.
Is an out of touch billionaire in a suit just trying to be all. I don't. It just didn't work.
I don't think it's a problem for other people. Like, I think people would get a lot of enjoyment out of it, as with a lot of stand up. But I didn't. I was watching it just going, so what?
Yeah,
and I'm
so
not saying
what?
That I, again, I'm not saying I'm any, I could do any better, obviously not. But I just watched it, and I'm like, what are you saying? Like, what?
Well, of all innovation, of all everything, like, was it Isaac Newton that said the only reason he could see so far is because he was standing on the shoulders of giants? Seinfeld was the original master of observational comedy, but he's just now it looks dated, and he hasn't.
He's just talking about stuff. Yeah. But then, like I say, there's a market for it. People like it. I don't find it funny.
I don't, and not just that, I don't think the presentation works now. I don't think that slick. It's Bob Monkhouse-ish. It's come across as kind of too
and
slick,
yeah,
too
like
polished.
You say, he's a billionaire. It's very difficult to.
I started watching another one as well and I had to turn that off. It was Tom Segura. Shit. Absolute
I've
shit.
I've heard of him.
That was terrible.
But then there's ones I hear that are lauded. People go, oh my God, have you seen this? The most perfect thing. I start watching, I go, oh, I don't like
watching it. Jerry Seinfeld was like, if you watch Bob Dylan now and, you know, all his songs are just in a different key, they've got different time frames, it's just, what is that?
I mean, I wish I could write as prolifically as, well, anyone really that earns a living doing it, but I can't. But I think maybe that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I'm not doing any better.
This is the thing. I'm not comparing myself to them. That's like you can go to Arsenal and you can shout and you can say the striker's shit. Everyone in that crowd knows you're not as good at football as him. Like, there's no one who's watched England that was better than Emil Heskey. Yet general consensus was he was absolutely shit. But that's you pay your money, you take your choice. That's your privilege. And just because you're in the same business, that's like you're not allowed to criticise art, you're not allowed to criticise films. Can you not say, I don't like Westlife? Well, where's your number one single then? When you've had a number... People used to say things like that to me. I used to go, oh, Westlife is shit. Well, when you've written number one single, you can criticise. It's like, really? Oh, that's the criteria, is it? Insane.
Yeah. But then it's weird because I'm passing judgment on it here on this podcast. But I just don't. It takes something very, very special for me to enjoy someone special. And they're always 40 minutes too long for me.
No, an hour is too long. I don't know where that model came from, but it needs to be addressed.
40 minutes. I'm in, I'm watching, I'm out. You could do an arc. Like, I've done shows where...
I think 30 is perfect. An episode of a sitcom's 30 minutes. Why has stand-up got to be twice as long as a sitcom? With all loads of characters and scene changes. But, it's just someone talking for an hour. It's too long.
You could do a set for 40 minutes. I'm saying 40 because I think I've done sets of 40 minutes that felt quick. That felt natural. You know, you get in, you get up, you get down, you get up, you get out.
But the difference between me and you is if I did 40 minutes material, obviously I've got the 20 minutes of applauses to add in. So mine would go up to an hour, whereas you'd probably get through yours in about 17 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
On and off.
if I've got any recordings of those ones I did for the old age pensioners hotels, then believe me, they were 45 minute sets
and 15 minutes the sound of your cotton mouth trying to swallow.
Yeah. So who's drinking? Oh no, none of you because of the medication.
Is it me or is it hot in here and you're all sweating there all under three blankets?
No, it's freezing. But it was boiling.
Yeah, I did one too in the Isle of Wight. I did one.
Yeah, I remember. I just remember the phone call. You called me. I was in bed just about to go to sleep.
Yeah, and one guy goes to me, the guy that ran it, goes,
yeah, give me a number. I'll give you some advice tomorrow. And I went, oh, that's a good sign.
And then so I phoned him the next day. I said, oh, it's Justin, the comedian from last night. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, what's going to say is you're not right for these.
Yeah, the advice was you've made a big mistake.
I knew I'd made a mistake, but I got paid handsomely.
Yeah, because I was a lamb to the slaughter before, wasn't I?
But you seem to get through... I'm not... No, don't take this the wrong way. You seem to get through three before they realised. I got found out on the first one. I don't think I did any worse.
I did four in total of the five I was booked for.
But mind you, you couldn't have done worse than me. I mean, there is a rock bottom, isn't there? I mean, people don't.
Yeah, well, I felt I'd got. Oh, but the last one I did, I was like, oh, that was a gig. I went to one in Birmingham and there was younger people in the audience and I did half an hour of audience work and they laughed and it was funny. And then when I did material, they didn't. But all the others, it was like, oh, they're not talking because I'm not a northern comedian doing old jokes.
So for the benefit of any new listeners we've picked up, can you please, please, please tell me what you overheard an audience member say as they left?
I thought it was going to be better than that.
So you'd done your gig and you're leaving, and as you leave, some of the crowd walk past you and two people that have been in the show, one turns to the other and says, yeah, I thought that was going to be better than that.
Yeah, and I'm standing behind them on the phone to you.
So maybe. You know what you should have said, didn't you? Well, when you've got a better 45 minutes, you can criticise me. So actually, I've changed my mind. I've done a 180 on that.
Oh, God, it was awful.
And for the new listeners that we've picked up, because our numbers are soaring for some reason, lockdown, can you tell them what happened when you went to see a masseuse?
Please, are we going to tell that story?
Please tell that story again. I'm never tired of this.
I went to see a chiropractor. Oh, God, why would you do this now?
Please,
why
have I got, because honestly, I don't know if you can hear how much I'm smiling just knowing what's about to happen. It's about to unfold.
I went to see a chiropractor on the recommendation of my mother. So my mother had been there. And as I'm halfway through, face down in the little hole, having my back manipulated, she said, oh, your mum says you do a bit of stand-up. And I said, oh, yeah. I was quite new at the time, I reckon, maybe a year or so in. Yeah, I do a bit. And she went, oh, God, well, I hope you're not like one that we saw in and then named the place a few years, like a year ago or whatever. He opened with some stuff about his dead granddad and then started making fun of people in the audience whose parents had died. And and she basically explained the act.
Yeah, it all sounded a bit familiar, didn't it?
It was me and it was a year before and I was just laying there face down like, oh no!
That's basically a heckle that was a year in the making.
Oh, imagine it.
I mean, I've heard about
Pete. He was awful, this guy. He started talking. Because I did this bit, like a 5-minute routine about being a pretend psychic before I'd ever heard of Tom Binns doing it. And it was just about, I did a joke where it was, I said, member of the front row. I'd pick on someone I thought could handle it. I'd say, oh, sorry, have you just recently lost a parent or a loved one? And they'd say, no. And then I'd say, oh, then, and I put my finger to my ear like I was getting a message from the deceased. And I'd say, oh, okay, I'm getting another message. There's been an accident. You need to call home now.
Yeah. But this woman was saying how bad it was to you when you were trapped.
Trapped face down. Imagine, because then I had to not look at her for the rest of the...
And did you bottle and go, oh, no, I'm nothing like that. I would never say that. Or did you go, that's me?
Yes. No, of course I didn't say that's me.
Oh, I would have. I'd have put
no,
the...
you wouldn't.
I'd have put
no,
the...
No, you wouldn't.
I would have, because that would have made her... If she was anything like me, that would have ruined her day.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that because you're the same as me, except for you've got bravado up to the point of having to do something about it.
I talk a good game, yeah, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, that is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, well, let me talk it. I wasn't in that situation, so it's my fantasy. You had to be confined to the constraints of reality. Why are you clipping my wings?
Did you used to have a mate that would talk about fighting? If that twat came up to me, I'd fucking beat his fucking head in.
I remember.
And then you play football or rugby, and then some bloke goes, what are you fucking doing? Well, mate, all right, yeah, nah.
I had one where a carload of five men was chasing me. I told you that one?
No, I'd love to hear
from
it.
A lot, I was running red lights and just like James Bond. There's five blokes in a car chasing me, going to kill me. And I said this to a mate. I go, fucking hell. I said, I only just got away. They were going to kill me. Fuck that. He goes, I'd have stopped. I'd at least took two or three with me. Even if they killed me, I'd have took two or three with me. And I was thinking, oh, that's the sort of thing I would say to you if the shoe was on the other foot. But we both know it's not real. Can we just...
But then I love it when you see those. But like, I've got two friends who would get us in trouble fairly often. They know who they are if they're listening. And... you'd look round the scene as the fists were flying and the bouncers were pouring out of a club and they were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
They just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Again, this is that thing, isn't it? This is like criticising the £10 million striker for missing an open goal. You wouldn't have slotted it in either, or missing a penalty. But you, unless like blokes go, oh, I'd have fucking kicked his head in. No, you wouldn't, but you're allowed to say it. We all know what's going on here. Just say it. I'll let you say it. But you didn't let me say my little one about you getting your back manipulated. So I'm going to say it again. I'd have turned around and said, that was me, you cunt.
Would you? Would you?
I've just established I wouldn't, but let me... Allow me. Allow it, Ash. Allow it.
Allow it.
I was thinking the other day, I don't know what this has got to do with anything, about how quickly we adapt to our surroundings, whereby, I mean, if I was walking through the aisles of my local Aldi and someone came in the other way, did a big wide swerve around me, I would have been offended.
Right, well, in this current crisis?
No, no, before. And now I'm offended if they don't do that. And yeah. I was thinking... Do you think, Ash, okay, so let's phrase this as a question. Do you think that the discrepancy between expectation and reality is what causes a jarring effect? What I mean by this is, I've been to New York twice. I love it. My favourite city in the world. My favourite place in the world. But I know that there's a reputation that New Yorkers are very abrupt and rude. And I went in a pizza place. And it was like a dollar a slice. I said, can I have the plain... Oh, sorry, is that pepperoni? Actually, I'll have the pepperoni. And the bloke just sort of rolled his eyes and went, oh, God, fuck! Like, as if like, I'd annoyed him just by changing my mind that quickly. And like, in this country, it would have been like, it'd have offended me, but I was just like, oh, that's... Basically, when in Rome. You know what I mean?
Well, when in New York, of course. So, I want to end this podcast, Justin, with your... We spoke about this the other day. You've got a new, and this one's big. This is going to blow the lid. You've got a new prankspiracy that might get us taken off air.
Yep.
That's what I've been hearing. Mm-hmm. I've heard that you have thought something that is foolproof.
Well,
it is watertight.
Yep.
And it is happening right now. Oh my God.
That was There's a lorry. Like an, that was dang, a lorry. Come and get me, mate. It's a paddy wagon. I think... You know chemtrails?
Yeah.
And there's loads now. Have you seen how many there is now?
All of a sudden, once the lockdown's begun to be eased, the sky's full of them.
And I live on the outskirts of the fine city of Norwich. And it does, honestly, it looks like there's no chemtrail. Then it starts, and then it looks like it's just over Norwich. It looks like the vapour trail starts and stops over Norwich. Like they're not wasting it on the rural areas.
Okay.
And I think I've worked out what they're spraying, based on my own experiences.
Yeah, okay.
They are spraying a experimental chemical that makes your jeans tighter. Because during lockdown, I've noticed that my gut has started hanging over my jeans and it's cutting into my abdomen. That's all I've got to
and
say.
Is that, Is that the general consensus for the city of Norwich as
I
well?
Just, I just think, I put this to all the people out there. Have you not noticed that since lockdown, your clothes are a little bit snugger than they were before?
So what are they trying to get that for? What are they trying to? What's the man trying to achieve
with that? I think
it
is Sir Philip Green is so we all have to go out and buy new clothes.
Who's Sir Philip Green? Sorry.
He was the mogul that owned Topshop and BHS.
Oh,
isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's developed a chemical that is shrinking my clothes because I could barely fit my tits in my T-shirt this morning. And it's...
bizarre.
Yeah. Coincidence?
So why
Think on that.
I'd just like to know why the government are letting him do that.
Money talks. Bullshit walks. Put a pedal to the metal.
No, I mean, it's pretty metal.
Put a pedal. Well, I always pedal doesn't rhyme with metal.
I know.
So is it pedal to the metal or no? Is it pedal to the metal or pedal?
No.
You're right. It should be about crushing flowers beneath your feet.
Pedal
to the metal. Put a pedal to the metal. No, but okay. That's another one. What's the worst rhyming thing that grates on you because it doesn't quite work?
Oh, I wish I'd thought about this before, because I've got loads, but I can't think of any.
Mine is, it's got to be the opening line to Anarchy in the UK.
Oh, God. Yeah, what? But why? All of it. All of that.
I am an antichrist. I am an anarchist.
But that undermines the whole punk movement for me. Genuinely, that undermines it all for me, because you go, oh, no.
The whole thing rhyming words is they rhyme, not...
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't rhyme, but I'll just say it in a way that no one... Oh, and the other one was they had to get that specific Scottish geezer from a mile...
Good with FUD. That's the one.
Cooperative.
Good with FUD.
We're good with FUD. Like, they had
it
to...
It doesn't.
There's one area of Scotland where they say FUD. Let's get
good
into
with food. What? Yeah, I've got it, guys. It's good with food.
Yeah, I agree with
you.
I would have gone the other way. I would have changed the pronunciation of good. I'd said good with food.
Good with food.
Not good with
food. How did they get that by? Unless that was literally made in a... If the guy who did the voiceover was the guy who came up with it, and he was very, very powerful, that's the only way that could have slipped through.
You think about that. It must be why English, they say, is the hardest language to learn. On paper, that looks perfect. But explain to a foreign, like someone learning English, no, those two words don't rhyme at all. They're completely
good
different.
Good with food. Oh, it does my head in. That is the one, actually. That's probably the one that gets me
good
the most.
Good with food, antichrist, anarchist.
Here's the thing, just, I know we're going to go now, but I've been listening to the Beach Boys with the baby, right, with my little tiny toddling child. You'll be pleased to know this. And when she has a bath now, she asks for the Arctic Monkeys.
Right.
So that's good. But yeah, so I put on some Beach Boys. And you know Good Vibrations?
Yeah.
The song Good Vibrations. I presume you're a Beach Boys fan.
I succumbed to peer pressure and immersed myself. I listened to them in the 90s because I was told that Pet Sounds was an amazing record to rival Sgt. Pepper. Never actually really got on board with the Beach Boys, but I am more familiar with their work than I should be.
Okay, so Good Vibrations, right? There's a bit at the start where it goes, I can't think of it in my head, but when it kicks into the main sort of do-do-do-do, it changes like there's a bad cut.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were experimenting with tape, cutting tape and splicing tape like George Martin and Sgt. Pepper's. But I just... I've got to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if I find it too... I don't enjoy harmonies. I don't enjoy...
So how do you feel about the fact that it's all very upbeat, but yet you know they were, you know, doing weird stuff?
Well, Brian Wilson was a burnout, wasn't he? Yeah. No, I don't mind that, but for me, it's not my taste. I like raw music. I like the Stooges and even Velvet Underground and obviously punk. I don't mind overproduced music, but to me, the harmonies thing, I find it quite... I can't explain it. I don't want to say feminine. There's just something that doesn't speak to me. To me, rock music should be raucous and a bit dark, and I find that a bit like...
Yeah, I do agree, but I do think there is definitely... I want my music to have a purpose. I want it upbeat. I want it to crash and bang, and I want it to be over in 2 minutes.
No, it's not the upbeat. It's the presentation is very... It's very sunny and, like... it puts me in my... All right, it makes me feel like I'm in a pair of flip-flops...
sitting on a beach, but I want my music to make me feel like I'm walking around in a black leather jacket, smoking.
And your feet are stuck to the floor.
Smoking a doobie, riding a motorcycle. And I, like, for example, if we went back to the era of the mods and the rockers, I would have definitely, when I was younger, I would have said mods were cool. But now it's like, no, the rockers were cool. They had fucking Chuck Berry and Eddie Cochran and black leather jackets and big motorbikes. And mods driving around their stupid little fucking haircuts, listening to the Small Faces. It's just, and I like edgy stuff, I suppose. I'm the bad
boy.
Edging. I like a bit of edging.
You're a bad boy, yep. Anyway, that's it from Justin in Norwich, the bad boy. Out back on the street, stabbing up tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna be backing some fools. Gonna back someone with a kitchen, mate.
It's been an absolute pleasure again, Justin.
Yeah, I know. That's what you say.
Support us on Patreon. There's loads of stuff on there. Yanis gave us an actual breakdown of how much is on there. He said, you said 15 hours the other day. It's more like 12 and a half. So thanks,
Yanis. Is that German
for
efficiency
that
they talk of? Volkssprung.
That's exactly
Dirk
what he said.
Technique.
He said, he goes, it's very much worth it, but I just needed to point out it's not quite 15 hours.
But who's counting?
Well, Yanis, fuck you.
6 million.
There's more going on there now. The May episode's up. There's some live video, the video podcasts are up. We're going to be streaming one soon. We've been saying that for a while, but that is going to happen. So go to Patreon and get involved. Give us your moon theories and you'll get a certificate. We've had one. That's from Yanis. He'll be getting his moon certificate pretty soon.
Yeah, that'd be good. Ink's drying on that as we speak.
From the PAME Institute.
Yeah.
Panks Aerospace.
Yeah, Panks Advanced Moon PAME.
I can't,
E, is
can't
it?
Remember. Explanation.
Yeah. The Panks Advanced Moon Explanatory Development.
Yeah. So that'll be heading out to Yanis. If you want one, get in touch and give us your moon theory and we'll read it out. We read out anything you send us because for however many listeners we get, a tiny percentage of you get in touch.
We should rename this the Dirty Little Secret with Panks and because that's we are everyone's Dirty Little Secret. Like I know loads of we know who's listening. I've got all your names and addresses, but why won't you admit it or pay us? That's the thing. You're cowering behind your frugalness.
Cheers, Justin. Cheers, listener.
Bye, mate.